Lecrae.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Just hang out here. That's all right.
Hey, hey, hey.
Live in the flesh. How are we feeling? How you doing? Right on.
Hey, what we've got here is this is what we call a talk back, brother.
Okay.
It's where they get to hear from you. You get to talk some to them, share with them what's going on. And then guess what? They get to talk back to you. Is that you
Excellent.
Or me?
I think that's you.
That's me, yeah.
Yeah.
I always love it when people call me right in the middle of things. So, why don't we start with prayer? Is that good? Somebody pray for us out there? Hey, Reuter, would you pray for us to get this thing going? Is that good? Here, why don't you grab this?
Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity we have to hear from our brother in Christ, Lecrae, God. And we just ask your rich hand of blessing on this time, Lord, that our hearts would be quickened to hear from you in this time, that we would encourage one another, and thank you for all that you're going to do in and through this time. In your name we pray all these things, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lecrae, why don't you take a minute, assume they know nothing about you as far as your background. Just start with square one. How you grew up, how you came to know Christ, just what that story is. Because
sure.
I think that's critical.
Sure. I'm going to take you all the way back, way, 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 way back. You know, I was born into a family that grew up in church. My mother and her 11 siblings went to church Monday through Monday. And my mom really, the taste of church that she got in her mouth was a very negative one. More about religion than about relationship. And because of that, she really rebelled from all things religious and Christianity altogether. And so I was raised, you know, without kind of having that, you know, backdrop for my life, because she was not going to impose that on me. So we didn't go to church a whole lot. Back up a little bit. I was born to, a young lady and a young man who didn't really know what they were doing with their lives. My mother, you know, ended up getting pregnant, and now she's a single parent. And so she's trying to figure out life the best she possibly can. And, you know, because of that, I was, you know, I just didn't have a whole lot of direction, especially spiritual direction. And I didn't really know my father, so I didn't quite understand who I was as a man, as a male, and just kind of lacked that type of direction and influence and insight. But my grandmother would from, you know, for months at a time, raise me. And she was a devout Christian. And so every so often I would catch a glimpse of what Christianity looked like based off of her. And, you know, as I just got older, you know, faith was not a part of my DNA. It just wasn't a part of where I would go to when I was in trying times. And throughout high school, I got in a lot of trouble. I was trying to find myself. I was always very concerned about, you know, where I fit in and how I, you know, would find my way in society. And other people's thoughts and opinions on me was a big deal. And so my significance was really wrapped up in what everybody else thought about me. And ended up getting a full scholarship to the University of North Texas. And it was on that campus when, you know, my world really, really collapsed. And I was so overly concerned about everybody else's thoughts of me and all these particular different things that I found myself, you know, wound up in a depression and you know, amidst the drugs and the alcohol and just, you know, the abuse of it all. I just went spiraling down. And it was at that point in time when I was invited to go to a Bible study and a conference and so on and so forth, where I heard a gospel message. And I remember the pastor, his name was James White, he preached. And the verse he preached out of Corinthians, it said, do you not know you've been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your mortal bodies. And the idea that I had been bought with a price just wrecked me. You know, it demolished me, the idea and the thought that, that, you know, God would want to save me, despite every effort I had ever made to rebel against him and to turn my back and to live for myself. And, so it was at that point at 19 years old, I just fell to my knees and said, Lord, if this is true and if you'll forgive me and if I'm truly bought with the price and if I have meaning and my meaning is to glorify you, then I want to do that. And that began my faith journey. And so, yeah.
It's great. I know the Anomaly Tour knocked me out because you guys did something really, really special there. Talk about that. How many of you had a chance to go to the Anomaly Tour? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Great. Yeah, talk about, I mean, that whole thing, how you wove your story into that.
Yeah. You know, when I see a lot of tours, you know, even artists who are not Christian, I notice that they put a lot of time, effort, and energy into the production. They're trying to create an experience for people, and people are drawn to that experience. And it blew me away that, you know, someone like Kanye West could spend millions and millions of dollars investing in a tour to draw people into an experience that did not carry on into eternity. And it made me say, wow, if he can invest that much into a temporal experience, how much more should I invest in an eternal experience? And so we took everything we had, we scrapped, we scraped, and we invested it into creating a unique experience that took people through my faith journey and took people from the very darkest corners of life and brought them to the glorious light of Jesus. And now he's the only person that can heal all those broken wounds. And that was done through, it was almost like watching a film. It was almost like you were wrapped up inside of a film. If any of you saw it, you know what I mean? Where you could just experience, you know, kind of my whole transformation. And a lot of people saw their own transformation in that. I didn't hide anything. So all the dark stuff was exposed, but it made the light look that much more glorious juxtaposed to that. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I know God's word is really important to you.
Yeah.
And I, when we were together in Atlanta, I had a chance to sit down with Ben for a while just to go, how did you guys get so deep into God's word? Mm. I mean, and I got two really things I'd love for you to talk about. One is that, and the impact of a Bible teacher there in Dallas that invested deeply in you guys, mm-hmm. and how important, that's what these guys are doing. Yeah. They're teaching God's word to young people. Talk about that, and then I want to ask you another question.
Yeah, I think especially in this day and age when we're in a real postmodern society and everyone's just kind of looking for answers and the Bible does not have the final authority in a lot of people's lives, I think it's very crucial that the Bible, in our eyes as believers, maintains the voice of authority that it has for thousands of years. For myself, I remember going to my first Bible study as a new believer, and I remember them talking about what story was it? It was a story that I think everybody should know, but it was something simple. I mean, I can't even think of it. It may have been something as simple as like Samson and Delilah. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And so I was so just like, this is a whole world of Bible that I know nothing about. And so I sat in there embarrassed because I didn't know these stories and everyone was raising their hands and they had answers and I didn't know anything. It was like, you know, what did Samson do to the walls or the pillars? And I was like, pillars, what are you talking? How does everybody know this stuff? So I immersed myself into the scriptures and really just made it a passion to understand God's word and understand what he was saying. And to the point to where, you know, a few years after my conversion, my partner Ben and I, who started Reach Records, we joined a program called the Young Guns, where a Bible teacher and pastor, Tommy Nelson in Dallas, he takes men for 9 months and takes them from, you know, Genesis to Revelation and just walks you through it. Early in the morning. But it was through, you know, kind of that foundational teaching that really taught us to really understand our word. And we learned to take books of the Bible and just be able to palm them, just be able to have a basic general understanding of books of the Bible, and then be able to speak from that perspective. And so what we want to, when we're communicating, one of our mission statement is to change the way people see the world. We want to make music that changed the way people see the world. And if people see the world from the lens of scripture, they see a completely different and beautiful world. And so I just had the privilege of being discipled by people like that, by seminary students who just wanted to spend their time investing in me, teaching me things that I had no idea about. And it, you know, it has helped me navigate, you know, in the worlds that I navigate in now. You didn't ask this, but a lot of times I notice that, and it's not that I can't fall. You know, I'm only, you know, walking upright by the grace of God, and I can fall. But I think people have rarely seen Christians navigate in the mainstream and in Christian worlds wisely. And I think that's because they have not been rooted in Scripture. And we have had, you know, 12 years of intense discipleship and being rooted and jumping out of planes in the Middle East and Asia and hiding from, you know, persecution and spending quality time digging and understanding the truth, so that when we're unleashed into this world and I'm out there with Fallon or at the Grammys or wherever, I'm standing on a very solid foundation of biblical truth and biblical teaching that keeps me from wavering by every false wind and wave and doctrine. So, yeah.
Woo. Yeah. The other interesting thing is, I think we've seen something emerging in the last 10 years, and that is that the rap guys, and you and I've talked about this, have become the theologians for young people. Talk about that.
Well, I think you know, with hip hop music and rap music, you're able to communicate a lot more in a lot less time. And so, you know, it's not like three chords over and over again. It's a lot of words and syllables jam packed into 3 minutes, and you can really convey a big idea. And you know, in my earlier works, I tried to cram a big idea into one song, but now I've even been trying to cram a big idea throughout the whole of an album. And so, you know, I think it's just a beautiful thing. And we also get to tell stories, and I think that's the beauty of writing music and rappers get to tell stories. You know, stories change people. You know, when you walk into an office building and you say, hey, we need to learn these things, and you put a bunch of charts and graphs up, people may get it, but if you tell them a story, it really clicks. And, you know, stories are what changes. We've been changed by a story, right? We're all saved because of the story of how God created man. Man fell from his glory, and he's sending a Messiah, and the anticipation of the Messiah was fulfilled. He came, he died, he resurrected, and we believe that story, and here we are. And so we get the wonderful opportunity of telling stories and songs, and I think that's a huge part of why hip hop is has been a great, you know, artistic tool for people.
It's great, but you got to have the foundation to be able to deliver all those words. And
absolutely,
it's biblical. One other thing that I think is I've known some of you, okay, is your continued commitment to making disciples. 116 is a commitment to the development of young men, a biblical view of manhood. Talk about that and what you've done with on an ongoing basis, and what kinds of things, because I think there's still a lot of things we can do with Man Up and those ideas that you guys have developed. Are you guys familiar with Man Up, the project?
All right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, so my label and our nonprofit ministry, Reach Life, we created a curriculum and album called Man Up, where it focuses on teaching, you know, men and boys what it means to be a man. And if you notice, everywhere else in the world, you know, I was in Kenya, and there's these Maasai warriors, and you know, these Maasai warriors at 13, they go out, and as a group, they go kill a lion. And if they come back, they're men, if they come back. If they don't come back, they don't ever come back. But in the Western world, we have no rite of passage. So we don't know when we're a man. Are you a man when your voice gets a little deeper? Are you a man when you start smelling underneath your arm? Like, when are you a man? Are you a man at 18? Like, when are you a man? And so what we wanted to do was to help paint a picture of what it means to be a man, because God created gender, right? God made men and women. And so what does God say a man is? And we look at the picture of the perfect man, who's Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he was he accepted responsibility, he rejected passivity, he lived selflessly. And he loved a woman sacrificially, and that woman was the church, and he died for her. So it paints us a picture of what it really means to be a man. And if you look in this world, 90% of violent crimes are committed by men. Over 80% of the men in prison have a lack of father figures in their lives. And so you see the impact and the effect of men not knowing what it means to be men, and men not being able to pass on the wisdom of manhood. And so we wanted to step in that gap. And I've had a wonderful time not only discipling I got guys here that I've been discipling for years, and every artist on Reach Records has sat at a table and done life with us, and so we've been able to pour into them. And so it's the Great Commission, it's the mission, it's what we're here to do. So yeah,
he's a youth worker, really, is what it comes down to in a lot of ways, really, when you come right down to it. I know there's so much that I am eager for them to hear from you, and we'll try and get a few minutes in where they ask you a few questions. The one question, I think we all know what happened in Ferguson. We all know what happened a week or so ago in Charleston. We know that God has sort of thrust you into the middle of that. Talk a little bit about that, and talk about what, from your perspective, what's the role of the church in what we're seeing in these things, and what's the Lord saying to you that might help us?
Yeah, well, I think it's really simple. Though the issues are complex, and though there's all types of perspectives on it, I think humility, grace, empathy, and love are what we should all be walking in. Humility is the ability to listen to someone else's perspective without being hostile toward it. It's the ability for somebody to say something you totally disagree with, and you to meet them with a humble posture and say, tell me more. Let me hear more of your perspective. Grace is being able to absorb. It's being able to absorb things that you don't like. It's being able to absorb other people's sin. When people say things or do things or act in ways that are offensive towards you, you can respond graciously. And empathy. Empathy is just the ability to step in someone else's shoes and say, man, let me hear your perspective. A lot of the things that I've communicated about both Ferguson and Charleston come from me not just saying, man, I hurt and I have wounds and let me speak out of them. It's that they've also come out of me saying, let me talk to my friends who are not like me, who don't look like me, who haven't experienced the life I have, and let me hear their perspective so that I can meet their perspective with my perspective, and we can come to a place of understanding. And ultimately, at the end of the day, as I've said, I wrote a piece, just my thoughts on everything that's going on. At the end of the day, I think we're all trying to find out who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. And the black community is not the good guys. The cops are not the bad guys. The black community is not the bad guys. The cops are not the good guys. The bad guys are the brokenness of humanity, and we live in a fallen, sinful world. And the good guy is Jesus. And he's the only way our hearts can be changed. He's the only person that can really mend the brokenness of our society. And if we're following after Jesus and walking in his ways, then we're a picture of that toward other people. And so, I know some people say, let's not think about race or ethnicity, but God made us all various different flavors and shapes and colors, and that's beautiful, and we shouldn't ignore them. He did it on purpose, right? So let's appreciate all the various different culture, ethnicity, races that we have, but at the same time, keep in mind that, as believers, we're a chosen race now. We're a unified family, and let's function as one and love each other graciously, humbly, and empathetically. So
yeah, it's a good word, real good word. Thoughts for Lecrae. Does somebody have the Brandon's got it here. Thoughts or questions? We have just a few minutes. Let's do it from a youth worker perspective and things that will be helpful. Okay, right here to this young lady. And if you'll say your name and your church, that would be great.
Good evening. My name is Darla. I'm from Gloucester County Community Church in Sewell, New Jersey. Lecrae, you've really, literally, in a couple of years, turned the rap industry upside down, literally. We are so thankful for that, because you're reaching the youth that we could not reach in any other way. What would you say to a group of young kids who are not following what you're saying, what would you say to them to help them stay on the right path and to stay in their lane?
You know, I think part of it is that a lot of discipleship is caught, not taught. And so they need to be around people that they can see living out what we're calling them to. And we got to model it, and we got to be present, and we got to be in their lives. So I think our very presence gives them an example of what they could aspire to be. And so I think that's a big piece of it. And then what I would say is I would always challenge, you know, young people on their identity, because a lot of their identity is wrapped up in what other people think of them versus what God says about them. And so I would just try to continue drilling down to, you know, where do they get their identity from? You know, because that's ultimately what's going to drive them. If they think that their worth and identity comes from being the most popular or whatever it may be, that's what they're going to fight for. But if they understand that their identity is can be found in Christ, and that they've been created for the glory of God, then they're going to live for that. So,
good. Let's come right here in front row. Name and church, please.
Hi, I'm Zach Rogers. I'm from Highland Presbyterian Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I really like the question that you asked when it was regarding the theology and how a lot of your music, especially early on, was very theological. It was just engaged in theology and all that. And you've kind of moved. I know a lot of people have been concerned. I've just really appreciated the movement from a very church-focused, you know, your first several albums, and now you're very much culturally focused and kind of trying to bring Jesus to the unreached. Some people are really kind of like not like that. And so can you just kind of explain like what your mindset was as you moved into that?
Sure. I think there's music for the church. There's music from the church. And but it's all music by the church. Right. So the church makes some music specifically for the body. The church makes some music like from the body, but it's all by the body. And so, you know, for me, I love the church. I love making music to edify and encourage and lift up the body of Christ. But at the same time, I was challenged repeatedly by both peers outside, you know, other artists and the Lord himself to not just be inwardly focused, to not just focus on the four walls, but to focus on outside of those four walls. So for me, it was more of an expansion than it was a different direction. For me, it's, you know, I'll never not make music for the church or encourage the body. But now I have expanded on to making music for those people outside of the four walls and connecting with them. And this is the example. And I, you know, try to make it quick. I'm long-winded. I'm sorry. But in looking at Jesus when he went to Caesarea Philippi and he pointed, you know, to a particular area where demonic activity took place and all kinds of crazy stuff happened. Jesus pointed and said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the idea of a gate is made to keep people out. So if Jesus is saying the gates of hell will not prevail, he's saying that those gates will not keep me out. It won't keep my disciples out. The gates of hell will not prevail. A gate prevailing means it was successful in keeping us from charging through and influencing the culture. And if the gates will not prevail, then those gates cannot withstand us barreling through with truth and love and wisdom and grace to reach an unreached world. So,
oh, great. How can these are brothers and sisters. These are on your team, okay?
Yeah.
They're not going to charge you and get autographs and all that stuff. They're going to say, you know what, how can we pray for you?
Yeah.
How can we be and encourage our kids to be a part of your team going forward?
Yeah. I think one way is for you all to continue doing what you're doing. It makes what I'm doing that much more, powerful, resourceful. I feel like we're working as a team. And I feel like, you know, you guys are just throwing me alley-oops. Y'all are doing a lot of the hard work and the heavy lifting and throwing me the ball. And so, you know, there's some people sow, some people plant, and you know, God gives the increase. And a lot of times you guys don't get to harvest. You guys don't get to reap the harvest of all the sowing that you've been doing. But a lot of artists do. A lot of artists get to step on a stage and say a couple words, and all of a sudden you see lights come on in some of the young people you're influencing. And an artist can walk away arrogantly thinking, man, look at that. When you guys have sown so much seed into those young people that by the time they walk through those doors, all we had to do was throw a dash of water on them and, you know. So one is just continue pouring your lives out. Two, I'd say prayer. I always need prayer. You know, the prayers is very necessary for me. Pray against the S's, is what I call them. The S's, Satan, selfishness, sabotage, and sickness and sin. So if you can continue praying that for me, because I'm susceptible to all of them. And then lastly, I would just say that, you know, I could what's very important to me is fatherhood and family, because I grew up in kind of a broken, dysfunctional one. I really want to present a picture of God redeeming that. And so just that I can, though I have never seen it done in my own experience, implemented in my own household, and my kids can see a new normal family-wise. Yeah.
That's good. Can I want to say something. I know that, is it Wednesday? Wednesday's the day, right?
Today.
Wednesday. No, Wednesday is your day at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Tuesdays.
Yeah, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody touches Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, this is talk about Tuesday just quick so they got it. Huh?
Yeah, Tuesdays is like my wife's day off. So Tuesdays, I block off the calendar. I'm home on Tuesday. And she knows that she can go out and do whatever she wants to do. She doesn't have to worry about kids, cleaning, anything, because I got the kids. And then at nighttime, you know, she comes back and it's date night. So, you know.
Way to go, brother. Way to go. Hey, John Collins, would you come pray for our brother here? And then we'll wrap this thing up.
Let's pray. Lord, what an awesome privilege to hear a brother in Christ who just loves you with all of his heart, who is allowing you to use him, who is a servant of yours, someone who is our team member, someone we can pray for. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to use him in a powerful, mighty way. Honor your word as he speaks it through the message of the music and the message as he shares in concerts and around. And even, Lord, I even think of his family. What a blessing it is to hear a man who just loves his kids, who wants to build into them, build into his wife. He's just like every one of us here. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to protect him as he's prayed from sabotage, from sickness, from sin. And I pray you'd protect his family, his wife, as he travels. And Lord, I would ask that you'd bring honor and glory to yourself through his life for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good job, the back. Hey, guys, what we got to do is we got to get him out of here. So just, if you don't mind, honor that. You know that he'd sit in here for an hour, but we got to get him back to get him back. So, and his manager will kill me if we don't do it. So, hey.
Thank y'all so much,
yeah,
man.
It's good stuff. Yeah.